Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and we're back on top. So let's put our best face forward and step on out. My secret weapon, if I'd been a man, is better yourself. Pink face-to-face is the real beauty in the world. We may be dinosaurs, but inside the jar, necessity is the mother of invention. Now you know. No, thank you. Joining us today are the usual fire and ices, including Kevin, forever beautiful Jaeger.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Kimberly, our war paint game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, thank you. And Ted.
And Ted, who we bought a car, and Ted's been in his crate for like 2 hours. So he's like pretty wild right now.
Ted is not a person. Just, you know, Ted is Brian's dog.
Oh, Ted is my dog. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And you said we just bought a car. I thought it was the three of you bought a car together.
Yeah. Ted helped with the down payment.
Brian bought a car. Incredible. Kimberly and I cheered him on. The dog was in a crate.
Yeah. Oh. But thank you so much for I have to finish the rest of this.
Yeah.
Sorry. Although one of my favorite things in podcasts is when the guests have conversations with us before we introduce them. I genuinely love that. So I'm happy that happened.
Yeah, I feel like I'm jumping into double dutch. I'm like, oh, wait, there's so much I already want to say on what you said.
Well, as you can maybe hear now, with us is a voice like no other. You may have seen her in The King and I, War Paint, as we discussed, and Hamilton. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show!
Stephanie J. Park!
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome!
Thank you, Brian. That was the most incredible introduction I've ever heard. I forgot a lot of those titles.
Yeah, you can have it. You can have it for your bio. You can change out your Hamilton bio. It's totally okay.
I think I will. I think I will. I feel like most people will not know anything that you just said.
Honestly, I wrote it last week when we scheduled this, and as I was reading, I'm like, what show did I do again? But Kimberly,
did we see that together, Brian? Or was
we
that
we did? We did, and yeah. I have to admit, I did fall asleep for a little bit.
Yeah, it's a long show.
Yeah, but I think we won lottery tickets.
Oh, nice!
I think so, and I remember that it was the one day I didn't put any makeup on. I went to see the show about makeup. I was like, oh, barefaced. Let's go.
Kevin, did you see it? Did you see War Paint?
I did not get to see that one.
Some of those numbers, first of all, that set was gorgeous. Stunning. And some of those numbers that you were all in were just like, it was such a, the way I describe it is like, it was such a clean musical.
Yeah.
Like the lines of the dances and the lines of the presentation of everything and the lines of the set. It was just like, it was very clean. I really enjoyed that.
It was definitely a really well done musical, just maybe not the most popular thing, but... Sure. A couple, like some of my best friends are from that musical. And so like about a month ago, we watched a bootleg of it and we were
sure.
dying laughing at like just all of our different experiences of it on all the things we were going through at the time and how we felt about it. It's just so interesting to watch bootlegs.
I'm sure. Well,
after the fact.
Before we get into that, what are you drinking?
Okay, so I'm drinking a super fancy cocktail called Whiskey and Kombucha.
Ooh, yes. That's a first, I think, for this podcast.
Really? Yeah.
What flavor kombucha?
I have no idea. Great. I just like to mix any hard liquor with kombucha and call it a cocktail.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds great.
And it's good for you.
Exactly. It's like undoes the effects.
It gets you tipsy exactly. and regular.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I am back with... The 11 o'clock number.
Nice. Beautiful.
Patty Murin and Colin. It was a Colin Jost and Colin Donald.
Yeah.
Just switching up some celebrity couples. I was going to brag about, not brag, but be like, I've been drinking this much slower than I thought I would. But there was this much left in the bottle.
It's really good.
I have a second ready.
Yeah, this is Patty Murin and Colin Donald's wine that they made with Knocking Point Wines, and proceeds go toward special charities and organizations that Patty and Colin were able to help select what the money goes toward. And it goes toward for Broadway Cares, but also to the organization in honor of Rebecca Luker and ALS. And so they're putting some money to that as well. And so the Broadwasted crew all ordered the wine that you can order on Knocking Point's website.
And, it's in the description of this episode. I link directly to where you can purchase the wine to support a good cause and to drink.
Yeah, check
it's
it
delightful.
Out.
Delightful.
I have not opened mine yet, though, because I am drinking a glass of Ecco Domani Pinot Grigio because I was feeling white wine because it like sort of feels like spring. So I'm encouraging that with a little white wine.
Sure.
The beginnings of spring.
Right.
I know. It's real nice. I went back to my old standby, which is seltzer that I pour tequila into.
A can of seltzer that you pour tequila into.
A can of seltzer.
Never not funny.
The ShopRite brand of Black Cherry in my Yeti container that Kimberly so kindly purchased for me
class it up. And then pour the tequila in, or do you pour out the top and then pour tequila in?
No, I take a little swig and then I pour in the tequila and then I cover it and I shake it a little bit and then I keep going.
Cover and shake is a detail I didn't know, but I appreciate
it. Yeah. I don't want to lose anything, you know?
Right. I've actually definitely done that before as well.
Yeah. It's great. Perfect. This is great news.
I needed the cover thing. I've just been like...
Sure.
Swish.
You swirl. Yeah. I definitely, if I'm feeling it, I'll swirl, but you know.
Oh, I'm proud of all of you.
You need like a cocktail stick that like is the right shape.
Yeah, totally. So Stephanie, what's your favorite musical?
Of all time?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, geez. Probably West Side Story.
Cool. Yeah. Now, when you think of West Side Story, do you think of the movie run or do you think of the actual run of songs from the theatrical production?
Definitely the movie. It's like the reason I liked musicals at all in high school. I like, it's the only movie I think I've watched like over 100 times within maybe 5 months or so. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I... wish I were a little bit more of a musical theater, like, knower. I'm really bad at knowing things.
Sure.
Like, trivia things, if that makes sense.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble.
I know.
You're coming later.
Cool. Are you excited for the new movie? What are you hesitant to see the new movie? Like, what are your feelings about the new film coming out?
I'm super excited. Honestly, just like anything that's going to support this industry right now is like 100% support. Like,
how could Cheers you possibly, to that.
How could I mean, you possibly yeah. not right now?
Good answer. Good answer. Cool. You know? Totally. And I feel like it's been a while. I feel like it's been a while since we saw like a big blockbuster like musical that actually cast like triple threats in it.
Yeah.
So like Ariana in it and Mike Feist in it. Like it's like very exciting. Those among others, yeah. Super exciting that we actually get to see people who are trained do this.
When is it coming out again?
This no December. It was supposed to come out December 2020, but it's coming out December this year. And I believe it's on the slate for
HBO Max.
Yeah. That and In the Heights. I have to double check that. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
In the Heights, I'm so excited about.
Yeah, that's definitely this summer. And good. And the In the Heights director now is directing the Wicked movie, I believe.
Dear Evan Hansen also happening as a movie?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Have they even started filming that yet, though?
I don't know.
I think they did just.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah.
Yay, musicals.
Yay, musicals, for sure.
Dear Evan Hansen, what do you say to you?
Was it? Yeah. That's so good.
I'm telling you, if you took that song and put it in Dear Evan Hansen and had it be his, like, the first verse, is his father like a memory, like saying goodbye to him as a kid before he leaves him, and then the second verse is like the Hamilton part is the mother character, like the single mom trying to play the dad role, and so then the duet is the two of them together like trying to fill the one void that's gone. Like that would be perfect.
So let's test it out in the Philip tour. So can you set that up?
Yeah, can you make that happen?
Yeah, I'll make it happen. I have so much.
The matinees are just a Dear Evan Hansen prequel.
Yeah, totally, totally.
You and Aaron Albano should totally film this and make like a YouTube thing. Like, I'll write you the lyrics.
Honestly, yeah. Fun. Okay, I'm good.
Sounds great. Do you have a favorite experience seeing a show? So it doesn't have to be your favorite show, but like seeing that show live just kind of like changed something or you had very, very cool experience.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm being like pretty basic, I guess, with some of these answers.
I love
it. We'll get further in later. But my favorite experience watching a show was Phantom of the Opera when I was a kid, because it was the first musical I ever saw live in Korea, actually, and I didn't even know really what was happening. But I just I just remember I had a crazy headache, like a crazy migraine. And then it was one of those like magical, like the orchestra starts and it goes away. And I was like, oh my God. And then the intermission happened and I like back to the migraine and then back to act two and it was gone again. So it was just like cool to physically feel like such a change. And I don't know if anything will ever compare to that, just because that physical change was so extreme, I felt.
How old are you?
Yeah.
Less than 10. I don't know. Somewhere between 5 and 10.
So cool.
Yeah.
I never would have thought that like 80s synthesizer musical would be like the cure for a migraine.
I know. As an adult, I like roll my eyes at like that's what did it. But there's a reason it's so popular. It's
Totally. Yeah. Especially if it cures migraines.
Exactly.
Yeah, that totally.
That should be the under
the tagline. Opera. Yeah, yeah. 100%. That should be a prescription. Like, doctor, I have a terrible migraine. Like, I'm going to prescribe to you the original soundtrack, the original album.
The tagline now is what you'll always remember your first time.
It is really? Actually.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Like, the official tagline is that?
Or their most recent marketing, I think, was?
Yeah, I think their most recent marketing push before COVID was you'll always remember your first time.
Wow. Oh. Wow, that's bold.
It is extremely bold.
But the show is very like operatically sexy. So like it makes sense to use that kind of like language. But
operatically sexy is just a real turn of phrase I didn't know I needed.
Well, it's just like, it's like sexy with a lot of clothes and ruffles.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Ruffles are sexy. Like whenever I see like ruffle chips.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I'm just like, do I want these like baked ones or do I want the ruffles? Yeah, you want the ruffles.
Okay. All right. So back to you. Back to questions. Okay. So besides the musical theater realm, what would you say is like a kid growing up like inspired you as like a singing person, like you as a singer? Like what were who were the people you were singing along to on the radio or like with your parents? Yeah. Like what was the music?
I have like such complete polar opposite like influences. So my mom was a classical voice major and my parents were like super so I was born and raised on Guam for like 11 years of my life, my first 7 years.
Oh wow.
And so my parents and my family were kind of like opera stars on Guam. Like cool. In the very first opera on Guam, my mom was Mimi in La Boheme, and that's like such a prideful moment for us. We just watched home videos of that too. But so she.
So you know operatically sexy. Like, you know what that.
Operatically sexy is like it for me. Yeah. Opera singers.
She didn't even blink.
No, yeah. That's, they're sexy. Their voices are very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's true.
Okay. But yeah, so I grew up listening to a lot of classical opera, like specifically Sumi Jo, because she's like a very world famous Korean opera singer, and that's like such a huge pride point for Korea. And then conversely, I listened to a lot of like Mariah Carey, Alicia Keys, Christina Aguilera, Justin Nozuka, Destiny's Child, you know, just like pop R&B.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that kind of genre. Yeah,
how do those two kind of juxtaposing styles and genres, how do they inform kind of the voice that you convey through, you know, your not only roles, but also the things that you post on social media and things of that nature?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm still kind of figuring out what my sound is because of that. Because most of my career until Hamilton has been like super, super classical. And I've mostly identified with being a high soprano. But I've always wanted to sing pop. So I guess kind of fast forward to now, I'm starting to write music now. And like, it's a lot of pop, but sung in the head voice where I'm more comfortable. And like, I love coloratura a lot, which kind of just manifests into riffing. So I just love to like riff in my soprano, which I'm embracing as like unique and very me. But at first I was like, that's not real pop. That's like, I don't even know what that's called. So for a long time, I've not understood what to call my sound, or even like if I could label my sound or how I'd like to sing, because it is such different influences put together.
Did you, that being said, did you find yourself having obstacles singing Eliza, or at least learning the part? And like, and if so, like, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, talk to that and how you overcame them, or how you're still working on them, or if you've forgotten everything.
I think a lot of our listeners who have been trained in like the more like classical normal kind of route of being a musical theater performer are like coming up with those same hurdles as they're trying to do much more contemporary music.
These are such great questions. I'm so impressed already. Okay, so
this is a fluke. I'm just letting you know.
Usually we're terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I first got the callback for Hamilton, when I got the material for it, I called my manager and was like, I can't do this. Like, I just looked at the sheet music. I didn't even, this was like 4 years after Hamilton was open. And for some reason I was avoiding it because it was like too mainstream and I was like too not mainstream, which is not true anymore. But anyway, so I saw the music. I saw like what an E flat, belty E flat or something. And I was like, I can't do it. Like I simply can't. I'm not a belter. And then my manager was just like, okay, just try. Just like get yourself in a voice lesson and try. So like I had been working on this like beltier, chest voicier sound for like over a decade and still like could not figure it out until I started taking lessons with this girl, Carolyn Miller. She's awesome. And then she kind of like led me to just like get through the callback, I guess. And somehow I got the job. First, I was a standby. I don't know if I've said that. I used to be the standby on a different company of Hamilton. So I was singing all three of those roles. And like the idea of me as Angelica, just, I couldn't compute it when I first got the callback. But anyway, and then, so since then I like, as a standby, vocal maintenance is like super important to me because it doesn't come that naturally to me in terms of like chest voice belty. So like basically at least six times a week, I would do this like 10-minute vocal warm up and then sing through all the sister songs in Hamilton just to like keep maintenance. So
sure,
I'm pretty proud of it being hard work for me in a way. And also like kind of sad that it's not that natural. Like you guys had Nikisha earlier, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the most natural, just like easy, belty chest. Like everything is just easy for her. She's like an astounding voice to me. Whereas like, I feel like I can trick people into thinking I'm like some kind of Beltris, but I'm working very hard to do that, I guess. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Cool. That's fascinating. Cause I feel like a lot of people just like, think things, you know, for a professional and a talent like yourself come easy, but
yeah.
Clearly there's like a tremendous amount of work to create that product, and it's always evolving, and it's always, yeah. There's always maintenance. So that's really nice to hear.
Cool.
Absolutely. I guess, Kevin, were you going to say something?
No, I was getting excited because I was going to see what I thought was about to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, no, nothing's about to happen. We're just going to go to Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin. Wow. We've been doing this for so long. The two of you knew exactly what my brain was trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was trying to get that transition in there. Just
he was like, we haven't talked about any places.
Well, Stephanie, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I get to take over and we get to go into a weird and strange rabbit hole of things I was thinking about this day.
Yay.
And today I was so excited that you're coming on because, like, yeah, like we introduced you and people are like, oh yeah, Stephanie J. Park. But like anybody who's anybody calls you Stephanie Slay Park.
Yeah.
And you can see this on YouTube on the countless videos of her doing the riff things she talks about that are so incredible. And so today we're playing a game about Stephanie Slay Park. So we're going to play a categories game, and it's Stephanie versus Brian and Kimberly as a team.
Oh, so
the way this is going to work, actually.
Do I have to riff?
Yeah, get someone on my team.
And we have to riff.
Here's what we're going to do. It's Stephanie versus Brian, and Kimberly is the phone a friend for both of them.
Right.
Okay, sure.
And so this is how it's going to go. Is I'm going to give you categories, and they're all going to have to do with the word slay. And then basically you two are going to go back and forth and try not to, you can't repeat, and try not to have too much time between like when you give your response, and we'll see how this goes. Okay.
Okay.
We're just going to see how this goes. And then if you need to use Kimberly is a phone a friend, but only for Stephanie, not for Brian.
I like this so much more now.
Great.
Great.
And Stephanie, you can only use Kimberly twice in a round. All right, here we go. So round one is characters who die in a musical before the end. So they don't die at the end. They have to die some other point in the show.
Okay. So I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
First, spoiler alerts.
Yes.
So, like, Floyd Collins or Kim from Miss Saigon do not count.
Correct, because they die at the end of the show.
Okay, cool. Okay, great.
However, for example, like, I'm trying to think, like...
Riff.
Like, Riff, yes. Riff dies in West Side Story in the middle, so he would count.
Okay.
So, what does the word slay have to do with the game?
Oh, they've been slain. Right?
They've been slain. They're dead.
Oh, okay. I thought
it's basically just things about death because it's slay. That's it.
Okay.
All right. things are real loosey goosey in Kevin's Corner. Okay, so here we go. We'll start with Stephanie. So Stephanie, characters who die in a musical before the end. Go.
Lawrence.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say Riff.
Riff from West Side Story, yes.
Kevin just said that.
It's okay, we'll give it to him.
No, I said that. That was my example.
Ugh, fine.
He said it, and then I said it, and then he said it, so we'll give it to him. It's a sandwich.
God. I'm going to phone a friend already.
Okay, Kimberly.
Javert
from Les Mis is the correct answer. Ryan.
There are a few in there.
Fantine.
Fantine from Les Mis is the correct answer. Stephanie.
Who else? Just a blank wall.
You can use your phone a friend one more time.
This is hard.
This is really hard. Phone a friend.
Kimberly.
The old man in Waitress?
Yes, okay. That is correct. He does not die at the end.
Okay.
There is one more song, so it doesn't count.
Okay, that's cutting it close.
Brian.
Connor in Dear Evan Hansen.
Correct. Connor does not die at the end.
I suddenly can't remember a single musical I've ever heard or seen all of a sudden.
Five.
The King in The King and I. Does that count or is that a spoiler?
It's quite an old show.
It's not a spoiler, but I might argue that The King does die at the end of the show.
There's one more song, isn't there?
You know what? We'll give it to him. There is one more song.
Mushnick.
Oh, Mushnick from Little Shop does die. You're right. All right, Steph.
Well, then there's more there.
Cop out, but can I also say Philip? It's like the same exact character in Hamilton.
Yes. He also dies, not at the end of the show.
The dentist?
Yes, the dentist dies not at the end of the show. You're correct. Five, four, three, two, one. All right, so that round was won by Stephanie because Brian pronounced Fantine wrong as Fantine. So Stephanie gets a point. All right, sure. So the next one. Here we go.
I like Kevin
Rolls. That's very nice. Thank you. I feel like I lost.
This category is characters who slay on stage diegetically. So basically... This basically means characters who like totally kill it singing on stage in the show, but they're on stage in the show.
Okay, so for example, how would they not be on stage?
So for example, in Escape to Margaritaville, the Paul Alexander Nolan character is an actual concert performer who does a show at the end and does an incredible performance, and so he would count.
Oh, like does a performance.
Right, in the show.
As the character.
Performance as the character.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Brian, do you understand?
I do.
So it's not that like the person just like is fierce in the show. It's like they
are doing the show in the show.
Oh, geez.
Go in the show.
Okay, so we'll start with Brian.
Sally Bowles.
Correct. Sally Bowles in Cabaret does slay when she sings Cabaret.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pharaoh and Joseph. Silence.
I don't know that show enough.
You know what? I will give you Pharaoh and Joseph because Pharaoh is he the one that's the Elvis character?
Yes, he is.
So he's doing it in the style of a performance of Elvis. So I'll give it to you. Brian.
Adelaide from Guys and Dolls.
You are correct. Adelaide does slay when she performs Take Back Your Mink in Guys and Dolls.
Fire and Ice in War Paint. She slays. She's my best friend. What's her character name?
Is she a performer? Is the character on stage performing?
Yeah, she's a character that's performing a commercial.
Great, I'll take it. Yeah. Brian, it's your turn.
Great.
Donna Sheridan.
Okay, I'll give it to you that Donna Sheridan gets...
You will, because the point is that they used to have a music group and they perform all the time on stage in their costumes.
I know, I'll give it to you. That's from Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, yeah.
Mamma Mia. Think about your first experience seeing a show.
Oh, Christine. Oh, yeah, Christine.
Christine in the Phantom of the Opera does kill it on stage.
Thank you.
Squidward.
I believe that Squidward killing it on stage is him dreaming if he actually got the chance to perform on stage.
But he's still singing a song on stage, like as a number that he would have imagined in a cabaret.
So it's diegetically, but dream-wise diegetic.
It's a dream diegetic, yes.
Mm-hmm. A diegetic dream. Okay, I'll give that one to you, Brian, but only half point.
Okay, understood.
Right.
Okay, just the person from Warpaint's character was Dorian Lee. I'm proud of myself for remembering. Okay, Gene Kelly's character in Singing in the Rain?
Absolutely, Gene Kelly.
Totally. Such a good one.
He performs on stage. So you get that. Brian, you got 5 seconds. Five.
Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan in On Your Feet definitely does perform Anna Villafañe totally slays on stage as Gloria in the show.
Phoning a friend.
Kimberly.
Carole King.
Carole King from the Carole King musical. Beautiful. Definitely slays on stage. Brian.
Gypsy Rose Lee.
Gypsy Rose Lee from Gypsy definitely slays on stage. Steph.
Tup Tim and The King and I, the ballet.
Oh my God, yeah. Totally slays on
stage. Such a good one.
Ryan.
Baby June.
Baby June also slays on stage from Gypsy. You're correct.
What's it called? Pop Six, Chicago.
Yes, Nalma Kelly does totally slay on stage in Chicago.
Yes. Right. The MC in Cabaret.
Mm.
Okay, we'll give that one to you.
Also, kind of, but in Pippin, the mom. Does that count?
I would say Pippin is done in the style of the whole thing being an onstage show.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll totally give you that. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cole House.
Yeah.
Oh, he does perform because he plays piano.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dream Girls.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Such a good one.
Great one. Brian.
I'm going to bow out of this one. That Dream Girls was like, that
Dream
was
Girls
it.
Was so good.
That was good. The only one I could think of was, this is iffy, but because Man of La Mancha is a story within, like, he's telling it.
You're just
but, like,
putting Man of La Mancha in every category you can find.
It depends on how the show is done, because that could be left for upper interpretation. So I definitely bow out of that one.
And this is
my other phone a friend would have been Dewey from School of Rock.
Oh, good one.
The last one I got here for you is characters who might ride a sleigh because their show is set in wintertime.
Great.
Or wintertime?
Just wintertime.
Great.
We'll start with Brian.
Buddy the Elf.
That's true. Buddy the Elf show is set in wintertime.
Friend.
Wait, are you looking for characters or shows?
Characters.
The Grinch.
You're right. The Grinch would have worn, would actually did ride a sleigh. Brian.
I don't know the character names. This is the problem.
There's a very obvious winter show.
I have one. Don't tell me.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know the character names.
Oh.
Because that's what you're looking for, right?
Yes.
Like.
What are their names?
Bing Crosby.
Did you mean?
I got one.
Okay,
I got one. Dr. Zhivago.
Yes, you're right, Dr. Zhivago.
It was like those quotes.
Scrooge.
You're right. Scrooge is set in a musical in the wintertime.
That is so. That's such a good one.
I'm really, really mad at you that you don't know the character names of Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye.
I don't either.
It's one is like, oh.
One of the British characters of like a dude and like his sheep.
What? British characters with a dude and a sheep? What do you mean?
Like it's like a claymation character of a guy and his dog or a guy and his
Bob sheep. Wallace.
There it is.
Oh. Wallace and Gromit. Good clue for this crazy brain. Bob Wallace is the Bing Crosby character. I don't know what the other
You're
one's
right.
name is, but
You're right.
totally.
Phoning a friend.
Kimberly.
It's me. Wintertime. We have, like, the whole thing is set in wintertime?
This entire show is set in winter. It's, like, the whole point.
What are their names in A Christmas Story?
Oh, okay. You're both thinking that. That was what I was thinking.
Hmm.
I'm thinking more year-round mainstream Broadway.
Year-round mainstream Broadway. About wintertime?
We literally talked about one of the people who was one of the stars.
Oh, me.
You can go back. It's your turn. Go ahead.
It's your turn.
Elsa.
That is correct. Elsa.
Oh.
Is
oh.
Time.
Accidental all year winter.
fair.
Jim Hardy from Holiday Inn.
You are
looked
correct.
That up.
No, I know that because I recently watched that on TCM.
Okay. I believe that. Stephanie.
I reuse my phone a friend now.
All right. Kimberly.
Okay, great. I ask again, what are the characters' names in White Christmas or A Christmas Story? Or?
Robbie? Bob? Robbie?
Wait. You said Buddy the Elf, so I raise you the girl's name that I thought I knew. It's not Dory. It feels like Dory, though. I don't know. Her name is Zoe. Like Romy.
Well, her real name is Zoe.
I know. Santa Claus. He appears somewhere in a musical.
Yes, he does. Santa Claus appears in musical in wintertime. I'll give it to you.
That was totally my next one, but I'm going to say Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
Ralphie.
I wanted to call him Buddy.
Does Olaf count?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember her name.
So does Anna count?
Yeah, for sure. Kimberly.
This night of Christmas present. I was kidding. Okay.
Yes.
Are you giving me a turn?
Did you have one to say?
Oh, I just said I remembered her name. Jovi.
Jovi.
Yeah.
That's totally one.
Yeah.
Brian? We're going rapid fire now. You kick
sure.
out know the answer right away.
Kristoff.
Yes, Kristoff is right.
I give up.
Well, you know what? You lost this round, but you won the other ones. So you're the winner of this round of Stiffy Play Park.
Kevin, that was really fun and really, really challenging.
And you know, this has been Kevin's Corner, and you're welcome. I'm really smart.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Fun.
I forgot of all musicals.
Yeah.
Oh, so you had mentioned before that you started to write your own music. A project that is something upcoming for us to hear and see?
Yeah, upcoming for sure. We're in the process of producing it right now, and I'm so excited. Yeah. So it's like the first EP I've ever I've like always wanted to songwrite, but I've never really had the confidence or the time to do it. So now I'm doing it. And so it'll probably be out like in the summer or so, maybe.
Cool.
Yeah. But we're producing it now, so it should be out soon.
Is there a problem with winter now after we played that game? That you don't
Now I have like a vengeance against winter.
What is like the sound, or like, I mean, you said you're still trying to like discover your own sound and things like that, but like,
yeah.
What is the direction that this EP is going?
It's definitely more like pop R&B. Yeah, there's definitely, so it's me and my boyfriend, and he's so great at like the groove. And I kind of like to say like he's very masculine with his music and I'm very feminine with my music. So the combination of it together is, I really enjoy what we do together. So I'm very excited.
Is he creating like the beats and like helping with the music, or is, so he's like producing the album for you?
Yeah, he's producing it. And then we have our friend, Chandre Broomfield, who just started his own production company, who's like helping produce it, but mostly like engineering the whole thing as well.
And is it just going to be you? Will there be guest artists or anything on with you while you're singing?
Yeah, there'll be some guest artists. We have some instrumentalists. Daniel Watts is going to rap on the last song.
Oh, cool.
He's already rapped on it. It's so good. I can't wait for everyone to hear it. I think that's it. This one is mostly like just me and instrumentals and Daniel. But the next couple, I think the next album will have a lot more like duets and other kind of features.
Is there a specific inspiration for it, like thematically?
Well, we're calling it Fire to My Air, which is the name of the final song on the EP, which is like kind of that same. So my boyfriend's a fire sign and I'm an air sign, and there's something like very exciting that happens because, you know. So kind of thematically, it's like the yin yang of like fire and air and like masculine, feminine. And just like, it's really just talks about a lot of our experiences, you know, together. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Thanks.
Have you released the name of the EP yet?
No, it's actually still a working title. So it might change by the time it comes out, but.
Right now the working title is like that EP thing.
Yeah.
And then you'll get to it later.
It's like yesterday we're like, what about Fire to My Air? So now I'm like publicly saying it. I'm drunk now. Okay.
Is the best way for people to follow along to like see the development of that through, is their website or is it through your social media?
Oh gosh. I guess I haven't even started. I'm very, very bad at that, at like social media marketing of it. So I think I'm going to like take an online class on music marketing or something, because I just don't know. But I guess the best way to follow it would be Instagram. And I should probably like start taking pictures and videos of the of the thing.
And what's your handle?
Yeah. My handle is Stephanie Slay Park.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
We just thought of our artist name to be Saffron Lips. Again, just working title. So it'll probably be Saffron Lips EP or something like that.
I love that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, we are very much looking forward to that.
Thanks. Me too. I'm so excited.
Should we play a game?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Brian and I were in the same headspace creating today because I have a game called War Paint.
Yay.
In which I have two lists on my phone, and we get to play a fun game of say when to pull the things that you'll have. Well, the first list is 20 lipstick name. Lipstick?
Lipstick. Lipstick.
Great. 20 lipstick names that are awkward as hell.
Kimberly, you were doing Patty's accent.
Lipstick. I forgot about the accent. Yeah, that was...
Accent.
Oh, my God. And then my other list is just when you Google beauty icons, just the people that show up. So you'll get a beauty icon and a awkward lipstick name. And just create for me how you might put together like a memoir-type musical named that about that person.
Cool.
Okay.
Kevin, do you want to start?
Let's do it.
Would you like a name or a person first?
A name first.
Great. Say when.
When?
Chihuahua.
Chihuahua?
No, Chihuahua, like the dog.
Oh, I thought it was Chihuahua. Okay. Chihuahua, got it.
Chihuahua. You can get it at Macy's for $21. It looks like that.
Great.
That is a weird name for a lipstick.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are not sponsored by Macy's.
No. And your beauty icon say when?
When?
Cindy Crawford.
Okay. Okay. So Chihuahua, and it has to be a show about Cindy Crawford. Great.
Correct.
So this show is... All right. So this is a musical called Chihuahua, and it is set inside a Wawa gas station, and it is focused on the woman who works every single day, 7 days a week. She gets up and does the, like, 5 a.m. to, like, 1 p.m. shift at Wawa.
Okay.
And her name is Chi, so it's Chi Wawa. And she has decided this is the day she's quitting because she has finally made up enough money to, like, she's paid off her house and she's, like, covered her entire house in Cindy Crawford's furniture line from, like, Kmart or whatever.
I think it's, like, Raymore and Flanagan.
Raymore and Flanagan. Thank you. It's from somebody who makes furniture things. So she's gotten all of her furniture stuff and she's quitting that day. But, like, that they find out the next day that who's my person?
Cindy Crawford.
The next day after the day she was going to quit, Cindy Crawford is coming to film a commercial there. So she's trying to decide how this has been her last day on the calendar for, like, 20 years. And now she's like, do I work one more day just to meet Cindy Crawford? And that's Chihuahua.
Fantastic and strange.
I would pay for that in a second.
Right?
Yeah. Brian, you ready?
Yeah.
Name or person first?
I'm going to go with person first.
Okay, great. Say when.
See, that makes me think of purse first, which is the Bob the Drag Queen thing. Purse first.
You have Rihanna.
Great. Okay.
She's
and so cool. Her musical will be called... Let me go back to the top. Say when.
When.
Indie flick.
Okay.
Name of this lipstick.
So the title of this musical is Indie Flick, and it is a Rihanna jukebox musical. But it also stars Rihanna as well. So you get this, like, concert feel, but it's also her music, but there's actually a narrative to it. And the narrative is that she is, now that's where my brain stopped. Essentially, it's called Indie Film because she doesn't play Rihanna. Indie Flick, correct. It's called?
Exclamation point.
Oh, okay. So Rihanna plays herself, okay? And Rihanna decides that she is going to stop performing because she gets obsessed with a underground competition of so it's like an independent competition of, like, flicking the little footballs, paper footballs through people doing uprights.
Yes.
And it's about her, like, getting into that scene, and she ends up being, like, okay with it. And then there's another character, is like her Mr. Miyagi type of character who trains her in the art of flicking paper triangle footballs through your fingers. And then it's kind of like an underdog story with to the music of Rihanna, even though she is also playing Rihanna. In the end, she is successful, and she learns how to combine her two loves of performance and football flicking.
Oh my God. You can totally picture her, like, about to perform at a concert and, like, give up on flicking. And then she decides to, like, she has to go back to flicking for this one competition. And she grabs her chauffeur and she starts singing Shut Up and Drive to him to, like, get her to the competition.
It's great.
I'm so into this.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. It's Indie Flick.
I would see that so fast.
Great.
right.
So. I want to see Kevin. I want to see hours in rep. Yeah.
Insane. Stephanie, are you ready?
Yes.
Would you like a person or a lipstick?
Lipstick.
Okay. Say when.
Oh. When.
Pink Pigeon.
Okay.
Is the name of this.
These names are wonderful.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's a MAC shade. Okay.
Okay.
And
whoever gets paid to come up with lipstick shades should get a raise. They should get a raise right now.
All right. And then a person. Say when.
When.
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. I don't know anything about Farrah Fawcett. But you know what? We're going to go with it. Okay. So this musical is about a pigeon who one day woke up and felt like he was too normal and too, he wanted to stand out in a way. So he's like searching for like the meaning of his life and how to like be a unique pigeon. And he takes a shower underneath the Farrah faucet.
Yeah. You just officially won this game. Like,
perfect.
Actually,
well,
that's the
end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us. That was amazing.
And finds faucet. That once once he's showering, his feathers are turning pink. And so he's like, this is supposed to be a feminine color, but I actually love this shade on me. And so it's this interesting discovery of like themes of masculinity and yet the color pink, and Christine Ebersole's song Pink is definitely in it.
Mm-hmm, oh yeah.
And he finds his authentic self being a different colored pigeon because of this Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
I love this.
Perfect.
And you know, at the end of the musical, they can be like about to arrest him for being different, and Farrah Fawcett can show up and protest. Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Or the Fawcett sing if it's Farrah Fawcett.
Oh my God, that'd be so great. I'm upset.
Okay. Definitely. It is my turn. Someone say when for me, and I'll find a lipstick.
When?
Lemongrass.
Okay.
Okay. Looks to be some sort of beige color. And okay. And say when.
When? I would picture lemongrass as like a yellow green.
Same.
Well, Stila did not agree. Stila? I don't know how to say it.
Stila?
No idea.
And I have Winona Ryder.
Oh, okay.
And so this lipstick of a musical called Lemongrass.
Wait, Winona Ryder is a beauty icon? I mean, I think she's
beautiful. Says Google.
Right, I think she's very beautiful. I just didn't like think she was like known for like being a style and beauty icon.
She's right above Veronica Lake and Ava Gardner.
Okay, thanks, Google.
Winona. This is obviously a musicalized retelling of the time she shoplifted. And it is because she shoplifted Stila lip color lemongrass. And it's just all about how she had to have this one lipstick because she's obsessed with, like, it opens with her drinking like a lemongrass tea before shooting something. And she's like, it just really calms me down. And then she finds that there's a lemongrass lipstick and she thinks it's going to like change her career and change her mind, and she has to have it, but no one can know that she is that she's questioning and doubting herself, so she has to steal it.
Love it.
And that's what it's about. And then it's very like Catch Me If You Can. There's like a cool cop role that's trying to find her, but it's like the mall security guard trying to like find her and track her down.
I'm obsessed with this story.
So like, yeah.
And then there's also like the ad agency for that lipstick color.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Is it the adding just for the lipstick is like making it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like part Catch If You Can, Paul Blart Mall Cop. Yeah. Well, that actually brings us to the end of our episode for real now.
Oh.
Hold on. Before we come to the end of the episode, I just have one more question.
Yeah.
I know that all of us are so excited for Broadway and tours and everything to come back. And I'm sure you're so excited to get back to work and like be with your friends from the tour and everything. But if you could pick one specific moment from the show that you are like so excited to like embody and live again, what would that one moment of Hamilton be for you?
Wow. My first thought just goes to that very opening number because it's the most like ensemble-y number.
Mm.
And there's something so wonderful about all of like, I mean, everyone knows Hamilton, so people know like who the characters are by now, but there's something really lovely about like, if you don't know, how you don't know which leads are what. And it's like, I love the unifiedness of that ensemble, like in a line and feeling a part of the ensemble and this like equality. So I think like, I'm really, really looking forward to like standing in a line with my cast. I mean, like, we're fucking... No! I did it. Okay.
You earned it.
We're here and we're doing it and we're just facing straight on. And I think just that very first moment is going to be so electric. I'm so excited about that.
Wait, Kevin, I thought you were going to say, and why is it the orphanage? That's awesome.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And if you don't know, now you know. But thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can check her out at Stephanie Slay Park on social media. Follow her there for updates about her EP, her TBD EP. thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You can follow us at Broadwasted on all social media. You can also find us on our Facebook group, which is run by Kevin, really fun. You can find us on Patreon, get some really awesome stuff there. We have some really fun things coming up for you. And it's fun now too, I promise.
Yeah.
You can always find us on things like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
Thank you.
You'll never get away from me. You can climb the tallest tree. I'll be there somehow. True, you could say, hey, here's your hat. But a little thing like that couldn't stop me now. That is from Gypsy. That is our quote for the episode.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time. Oh. As we end every episode, we raise a glass.
We do.
And so we say, fun.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Zoo-doo-wop.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Very empty cup.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.